It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen to KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoy.
You can lay me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
Good morning. Welcome to Speak Out. It's Tuesday, September 14th, 2021. I had to double check the date on the computer, thanks to good old Windows. Right, Dan?
Right. Yes, you are, sir.
There we go. Dan De Los Santos in the studio. You know what that means, a special edition of the Havasu Pioneers radio show. Dan, I need to remind people first, there's a blood drive going on right now at Mojave County Public Works in Kingman. It's from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., so you still have time to go donate or do a double, and you can go to donors.bytalent.org and search for appointments, or just walk in. It's at the Turquoise Room, 3715 Sunshine Drive in Kingman. And again, that's until 1 p.m. today. You've got a special guest who's been in town longer, or was in Havasu before I was born.
He was in Havasu before Havasu.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And so, yeah, we have a special guest with us today. And, you know, the name of our show is the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Honestly, our next guest is the reason we have that name. And we have today with us Bruce Hott, who is calling in from Payson, Arizona today, who happens to be one of the founding families of that area as well. And so we've got Bruce, and he got here in 1963. I mean, there was just nothing here.
Jackrabbits.
It was amazing. You donkeys and snakes. So, Bruce,
yeah, right.
Bruce, tell us a little bit about where you came from and how you got to Lake Havasu City.
All righty. Dan, I was born in Prescott. A couple of days later, came to Payson. My family here in Payson were cattle ranchers, and it's been here since 1884. And when they sold the ranch, my dad cowboyed for a while and decided that he managed some ranches, but it wasn't the same as owning a ranch. And so my mom and him decided to do something else, and he got into construction. He started to run heavy equipment. He got into a union called 428. It was operating union. And he was working for a company real quick that the gentleman that owned it died. And they compounded the equipment, and a guy by the name of D.C. Spears, and he somehow got that equipment out of that compound, and his very first job, as far as I know, was Site 6, building the Lake Havasu. And he called two of his buddies, a guy named Oscar Anderson and my dad, Dan Hott. They called him Danny. And they were building a new house here in Payson. The old house had run its tune, and they tore it down and were building a new house. And honestly, my dad lived in it for a few weekends. My mom and my brother and I lived in it for a few months. And the next thing you know, we were in Site 6. And I have to tell you real quick, my dad came home, and he didn't talk like this, but my mom told me later on that he thought he had gone to hell. You know, if you know anything about Payson, it's about 5,000 feet. We're in the pine tree. We're right under the Mogollon Rim.
Yep.
It's a beautiful community, and my family settled here in 1884. My great-granddad, my granddad, my dad, they all came from a ranching background. And when he got into this construction thing, he got with this one company, and he had these two buddies, and D.C. Spears was somehow smart enough to get that equipment out. And his first endeavor was building a Lake Havasu, and we ended up in Lake Havasu, and my dad probably early summer, and us in the summer of 1963. Absolutely nothing there. Site 6 was a paradise. It was an oasis. It was absolutely, we had sidewalks, we had asphalt, and we had trailer space. My mom and dad had to buy a trailer. They didn't have anything when we got down there. We used my uncle's travel trailer that he used. He worked for the federal government, and then they, I guess, decided this might be a place they're going to live, and they ended up buying a 12-by-60 trailer, and it was parked right over the edge of the marina, and we were right next to a gentleman by the name of George Hines, who became a dear, dear friend, and he was, I always thought he kind of ran the outboard, McCullough outboard division down there right there at the marina. There was a shop that they worked with the McCullough outboard engines. And that was the start of Lake Havasu. But, that's how we got there.
Bruce, let me ask you this. During those days, 1963, 64, how old were you and where did you go to school?
Well, I left here after my fourth grade year, and then I was going into fifth grade. And there were five of us. There was myself, my brother Steve, a guy named Rick Anderson, Joe and Jane Morrow, and Robin wasn't in school yet. So that was it. And we went to Topok, Arizona, a one-room school right there at the bridge on the south side. And there was a one teacher, five grades. I know there were some kids probably in that Topok area, and then that, there was a gas company. I think it was Southwest Gas or something. And there were some kids there that were going to this school. And Rick Anderson and Joe and I were fifth graders. My brother was a first grader. And I apologize to Jane, but she had to be in between there. And Robin wasn't in school yet. And that was it. There were five. And McCullough gave the moms a station wagon. And I if I remember right, my mom would drive for a week, and then maybe Dottie Morrow would drive for a week, and then Rick's mom would. I'm not for sure if that was exactly right, but somehow we got to Topok and back to Site 6, which became Havasu. And so my fifth grade year was at Topok.
The first Havasu carpool, Dan.
Yeah, the first Havasu carpool. Or the first Havasu school bus.
Right, exactly.
So Bruce, I got to ask you, you drive down the road and you haven't got to Site 6. You're turning into Pittsburgh Point. And there's Lake Havasu, the future Lake Havasu City. What did you see out there?
Are you there, Bruce? Oh, he cut out.
Yep. He'll go back.
He'll reconnect. Wow, what a story so far.
Oh, man. You know, I'll tell you.
One-room schoolhouse in Topok. I'm picturing at the end of the pipeline there with PG&E right across the river.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually described a white school building that's no longer there, but basically overlooked the lake or the river at that point.
Sure.
So we're waiting for Bruce to call back in. But wanted to give a big shout-out to some of the listeners who chimed in for today's show or listening. We got Kelly McDougal Booth, and we've got we also have Robin Morrow. Hey, Robin, really glad you're listening to the show today. And I think we got Bruce chiming back in.
Yeah, Bruce,
yeah,
are you
sorry
there?
Sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
Not a problem. No problem. You know, when you were coming down the road and you're coming into Lake Havasu, and what did you see out there?
Well, you know what? When we were coming in, it was called 66, and we turn on old 95. It was really windy and curvy and up and down. And I don't know, out by the airport now, those black hills.
Hey, we got a caller calling in for you, Bruce. Give us just a second. Let's find out who we got.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hi.
Hi.
Bruce Hott? This is Robin Morrow.
Are you kidding me? Are you in Havasu, Robin?
Yeah, I'm still in Havasu.
How about Joe and Jane? Are they in Havasu?
No, they are not. No, not anymore.
Not anymore. Well, I have to tell you, as you know, you were a big part of my early life, your family.
You guys.
Joe and I were an item for quite a long time. And Dottie and your dad, Bob, and you guys were a big part of that first experience of me down there in Site 6 at what I thought was a paradise. I don't know what you thought. You were a little bit younger than us.
And your mom and dad are the first people I remember in Havasu.
Yeah. But, of course, I know you guys. And, you know, Rick, I thought he moved to Fountain Hills, but Kingsbury told me he went to Texas, Rick Anderson. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah,
but
it was just us.
You know, I mean, we would go to Topak, and you weren't old enough to go to school. It was just Jane and Joe.
I was.
You missed out on the ride.
Yeah, I was in Steve's class.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm with you then. Yep.
She was waving goodbye to the station wagon on the way out of town.
Yeah. And I don't remember really how long it took to get to Topak, but, you know, we were kids you know, we were in a one-room school that was pretty fenced off because we were looking right off into the river there at the Topak Bridge.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a little diner, and I know my brother and I, my mom would pay, and we would eat there at lunch every day. But the thing was is when we got back to Havasu, Rick went to Donkey Acres. And I don't know how long Donkey Acres had been there, and I don't really know when Rick got there. I'm not even sure when the Morrows got there. I don't know if they got there before us or about the same time.
We got there in April of 1964.
Oh, so I was there before you guys. Holy moly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it was just maybe Rick Anderson. But I just remember going to Topak with those guys. I remember being by myself a lot that first year.
So
George Hines adopted me.
We got,
so I got to be down at the McCullough outboard.
What did you guys do for fun back then? I mean,
right.
There was nothing to do.
Trap lizards.
Robin, Bruce, what the heck did you guys do?
Well, I can tell you what I did. I lived on the lake. George Hines adopted me. We lived right next to him. When we moved that new trailer in, we lived right next to George Hines, and he was down there at the test center, the McCullough Outboard Test Center, and he adopted me, and I just lived at the lake, and we had a bait shop, and they used to give me probably the minnows that were dying in the water. I didn't have to pay for anything, and I lived on that lake, and I was pretty much by myself, and my brother was, like Robin said, they were quite a bit younger, and Rick would go to, you know, he'd go up to Donkey Acres, and you know, I wasn't old enough to see that Joe was who she was at the time, you know.
So the road came in, Bruce.
So I was basically kind of doing my thing. I was a freed bird in a wild, like a wild, wild west, I guess.
We were free.
So the road out on I-40, it wasn't I-40, it was Route 66 at the time, is that correct?
It was Route 66. And, unless you were there when we were there, there was absolutely nothing. If you looked at Site 6, Pittsburgh Point, whatever, and you looked up into where Lake Havasu is now, there wasn't anything. There had to be a dirt road to Donkey Acres. But my dad and D.C. Spears, that group, they broke ground for McCullough Boulevard and all that stuff. I mean, I know that stuff was there when I first got there.
Now, this is before Lake Havasu,
say,
one more time,
Site 6 was a... It was a paradise. I don't know what Robin thinks, but it was, I was in heaven there, you know, as a kid.
It was so great. You could just, I mean, we could go down swimming constantly. We were, any chance we had, we were in the water.
So Dan was asking the question, this is before incorporation?
Yeah, this is before Lake Havasu. Yes. So the sign at Route 66, what did it say?
I don't remember, honestly, but I know
I
that
remember.
It was, you know, they had to have a sod farm for water. And that gave us a chance to have water, and then it became, in 63, that all was going on. And the sod farm, I mean, I remember the sod farm, like it was right there across from the air, you know, that airstrip. And,
yep.
But, you know, Kingsbury's, they got there in 65, and his, Rick and Steve and Tammy, Steve and I, we became instant buddies, and the rest is history there. But
I remember that.
We were, do you remember Rick Anderson, Robin, at all? Or you,
I do remember him.
Yeah.
He was your age, right?
Yes. Joe and Rick and I were fifth graders.
Yeah.
And Jane, I don't remember. My brother was a first grader.
Jane was a year younger than you guys.
Okay, so she'd been fourth grade. I didn't know if she was third or fourth, but
yeah.
You know, and I just remember the ride to Topak, Arizona. There was a little white school building right there at the border. On
that
the
was
south
one of my
side.
First memories was that bus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Digger drove.
So we're gonna take a quick break here, guys. But when we come back, we're gonna talk a little bit about what businesses weren't there. There was really nothing there. But give us a quick minute. We'll be right back, Paul.
Okay.
Absolutely. Gonna play some tunes from 1963. One of the number one songs that year, "I Want to Hold Your Hand" by the Beatles. Back with more in a moment on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. Stay with us, Dan Del Santos, and I will be right back. There you go, Dan. A little Elvis the King from 1963. Gotta love it.
We had to take it back a little bit, didn't we?
No kidding. Absolutely. Well, we've been playing that 1971 stuff for
right.
so long because of the dedication of London Bridge coming up, the rededication. Anyway, Speak Out brought to you in part by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Mojave Mortgage, Springberg Wealth Management, Patio Paradise, Horizon Community Bank, and our newest sponsor, Thane O'Brien, was spot on. They help with credit card transactions for any size business. Call Thane, what a guy, O'Brien, 928-706-2784, or send an email to tobryan@spoton.com, tobryan with an E, @spoton.com. And of course, our Havasu Pioneers Radio Show sponsor, Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating.
So yeah, our special guest today is Bruce Hott, and I got to tell you, I'm really excited. We even have Robin Morrow online with us, and she's chiming in and saying hi to Bruce, and we're talking about 1963 in Lake Havasu City. I should say Site 6. Because really,
right.
It was still Site 6. I think the sign out at 66, which was eventually I-40, said Site 6 was the turnoff. And then you
yes.
came into basically absolutely nothing till you got to Site 6. So, you know, we yes. talked a little bit about how you got here and of course, having to go to school all the way in Topak. So
yes.
now there's no businesses. There's no graded roads. There's no McCulloch Boulevard. There's nothing. So...
No.
Tell us a little about a couple of the first businesses you remember coming to life in that area and when it all of a sudden got called Lake Havasu City.
Well, one of the first things I remember is a Chevron gas station right there where 95 hits McCulloch. That was a big deal. And when Kingsbury got there, they were building clay pools up at Arnold's Plaza. But you got to remember, in 63... there was nothing. We had to go to either Needles or Kingman once a week to gather whatever we needed. My dad would have to get gas for the car or the truck, and my mom would fill up for groceries for a week. And there was absolutely nothing in Havasu to accommodate that. We had to leave and either go to Needles or Kingman. There at the marina, there was a bar restaurant. At one time, but for the most part, we had to leave to go to either Needles or Kingman. And I don't know what Robin remembers, but there was nothing. The first thing I remember is that gas station. And then down the road, I remember at Arnold's Plaza, there was Claypool's. And then there was a liquor store and that kind of thing.
And I don't know when they started it, but at one point my dad became the postmaster, acting postmaster.
Yeah.
And that was in Claypool's Plaza.
Yeah, it sure was. But in the beginning, it was...
we had to go to Kingman to get our mail.
Yeah, it was. But I remember that. They had the post office. I mean, that was it. Right there at Smoke Tree, you know,
Claypool.
In McCullough. That was the start.
So you
and then
you,
that gas station. That, I think it was Donahue's.
You two were actually the real definition of pioneers when I think about that term and our town and our history. So you were the real deal. I mean, having to go out for provisions and bring them back and survive the week.
Yeah. And as a kid, it was the greatest experience. I came from a ranching family, a cattle ranching family. And to go from that kind of world in Payson to Lake Havasu, which was site 6 in the beginning, and to have all that to me today, it's the prettiest lake I've ever been to.
It's beautiful. Yep.
It was an experience that a kid, I was driving a Toyota Land Cruiser in sixth grade, you know?
Yeah.
I remember you driving it after you guys moved into town.
Yeah.
And you drove it out to the peninsula, to the trailer park.
Yep.
And, I don't think you were old enough to have a license yet.
No, Steve, here was the, if you don't mind, here was the thing. My dad got a brand new Toyota Land Cruiser, FJ40, in 1966.
I remember.
I was like 12 years old, and Kingsbury was there then, and Dad would give us some provisions that we'd have to keep it in low range, four-wheel drive, and not get out of second gear, which means we'd only go about probably 8-10 miles an hour. And he'd let us go down to the nautical. And before that, there was no such thing as a nautical. And it didn't take Kingsbury and I long to understand that we could kick it out of four-wheel drive pretty easily and start doing all these crazy things. You know, and it was funny. It was a new Jeep. And we'd get out there, and we'd be spinning around these dang bushes and creosote and whatever else was there. And we'd be just spinning. The dust would be boiling, and we're just these two knuckleheads, you know, just, oh, this is the greatest. And then we'd get out, and we'd look for scratches. We'd get out, and we'd look for scratches, and then we'd get close to back to site 6, and we'd put it in low-range four-wheel drive and putt into the trailer park there, and life was good. But if you got a hold of Kingsbury, I think that Land Cruiser was a part of it. I think that Land Cruiser took us. That was all desert, guys. There was nothing there. It was all desert.
I gotta put a question to you because you're the authority on this, the two of you. A big question that always comes up on the Havasu Pioneers page is what was the first bar in town? And I keep hearing all these businesses, and I try to explain to them what the real first bar really was. And wasn't it the cafe out at Site 6?
Yeah, it was. It was a bar restaurant. At one time it became a place where we'd watch movies later on. But yeah, it was right there. But you know where the ramp is, the site 6, it's still there, the ramp. And then right there next to the ramp was where George and the McCullough outboard motor test site was. And then if you go up from there, going west, there was a big parking lot and there was a hill. And then there was a little bar restaurant, and that was the, I guess you could maybe get a few things. I don't remember. I just remember.
I think that you could get, like, some canned goods and a few things there,
the Sproat family, I believe, was they were running the fishing camp. Is that correct?
Yeah, they were there. They'd been there, I think, since the 50s.
Right.
Yeah. Very much so. And, you know, I remember a cool thing that I remember is just having the freedom. A friend of ours, the Pierce's, Pete and Marilyn Pierce, he had a little aluminum fishing boat, and I could use it anytime I wanted. And, you know, here I'm a 10-year-old kid, and I'm out there putting. And we had boundaries. You know, we didn't have to do anything on the lake. We could go right across there around that Site 6 area. There was nobody. I mean, when my dad and I would go fishing, we were the only guys on the lake.
Wow.
And, so and I don't know if the Morrows did a lot of that, but there was nobody.
We still had trees sticking out of the water back then, correct?
Yeah, yeah, going from, if you go, I guess right now, if you think about Crazy Horse, and you look out across there to Havasu Landing, that was a forest. It wasn't one or two trees. It was a forest out there, and it was very dangerous. And my dad and I would go out there, and we would fish, and a lot of those trees were just under the water. And during that early time, they came in, and they got rid of those trees. They went as low as the lowest water they thought would be there, and then they cut them, let's say, 5 or so feet below that. But it wasn't a few trees. It was a forest out there. Yeah.
Sounds like you lost a lot of hooks back in the day, Dan.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I can tell you something. Where they became these professionals, my dad and I caught more fish, and we were, I guarantee it, we weren't the best fishermen in the world, but we sure looked like it, because out there in those trees, the water was so clear. You can just see all the bass and yeah, we were quite the fishermen in the beginning of that era, even though we probably weren't very good fishermen. But man, we caught a lot of, and we fished. I fished a lot around Site 6, you know, and they were good enough at the bait shop to keep us in. I didn't use artificial lures. I always used, and I didn't really use minnows. I was a water dog guy.
Right.
But these guys would always.
Hey guys, we're gonna take a quick break. We've got Bruce Hott and we have Robin Morrow Foster on the line with us today, and we'll be right back.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the concept of air conditioning in those days, Dan.
What air conditioning?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All right, maybe we'll talk about that when we come back too. Back with more in a moment on a special edition of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. We're traveling back to the world of 1963. Right?
It doesn't get much older than that.
Not much older than that, you bet. Right before incorporation. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul LaVoy along with Dan DeLosanto. Stay with us. Well, Dan, if you had TV back in 1963, then you saw the Angels sing that song.
That's
on
right.
Live television. That's a kinescope recording right there.
Right, but guess what? Lake Havasu? that wasn't happening. So, Bruce
right.
and Robin, why don't you guys tell
now,
us?
Oh, hang on. We got to do a sponsor drop
oh,
there
that's
for a
right.
second.
Let's do it.
Speak Out brought to you. And the special Havasu Pioneers Radio Show brought to you in part by Connected Computer and Technology, also Mojave Community College, GDK CPA LLC, Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, Herb's Herbs, Sun Power by Esme Electric, and by the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty with Bobby and Julie Lewis, Brian Besley, and Lori Rule. Speaking of which, we will have the Real Estate Power Hour, and Bobby Lewis will be in the studio tomorrow. Chad will be on as well from Mojave Mortgage. Should be a great show.
Oh, fantastic. So we're on with Bruce Hott and Robin Morrow Foster. And so these folks are giving us a history of about Havasu Site 6 years back in 1963. And so one of the things that we were talking off air about a little bit was, you know, TV, telephones, air conditioning. You know, why don't you guys take us through that and tell us what you did and what you didn't have and how you got through it.
You want to go first, Robin?
I remember TV was iffy, really, really
yeah.
iffy.
Sometimes
I
really had
you could
it,
get
you know,
a little in, sometimes not. And radio was just barely, for us anyway. It was like real staticky, and we'd be having to try to dial it really just to the right spot.
At night.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what about
telephone?
Do we have
no.
telephone then?
Yeah, No, I don't remember, you know.
I don't
the
remember them at first, but it wasn't too long. And then we had the party lines.
Yeah, it was kind of like this, Dan. They had a party line.
Right, right.
Yeah, you had to have when other people were talking, you had to have the just hang up and not listen to their gossip. Which you could try to call somebody and somebody's already talking, so you had to hang up. But yeah, we had swamp coolers. I don't know if I'm sure they did too.
Oh yeah.
And radio was non-existent. At nighttime, we could get Wolfman Jack on Oklahoma City, and you know, television was, like I say, it was terrible. We had an antenna, and you either had sound, or you had picture, or you kind of got in between, and you had a little of both. But we didn't watch TV. We didn't have to.
We're so busy.
I think for Robin and I, what you have to understand is we had that whole area. There was nothing there. I mean, as kids, we were freed birds. We could do any dang thing we wanted. We weren't going to hurt anything. I mean, I was driving that Toyota Land Cruiser with a pillow under my butt because I wasn't tall enough to see. And we would pass the sheriff, and he'd just wave at us.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I could see him saying, what the heck? If their parents were stupid enough to let this guy drive, let him go, you know? But it was just I'm 68 years old, and it was like yesterday. It was like an oasis for kids. I mean, I never got bored one time.
Best place in the world.
Yeah, it was, and everybody got along.
Yeah.
When the Morrows and the Hots were there, there was nobody there, I don't think, Robin. I remember the rec center. There was a gentleman there that taught me ping pong, and he was about the only guy, and I played a lot of ping pong because it wasn't until Smoke Tree the next year. We went to Smoke Tree, that elementary school, and
right.
it was growing really, really quickly.
Bruce,
but in the beginning, it was just a few, and Rick Anderson, he was up there, Don Yeager's all by himself, except with maybe a few family members, you know?
Hey, Bruce, speaking of school, where did you go to high school later or graduate from?
I was the second graduating class in Lake Havasu, but I went 2 years to Kingman.
Okay.
Well, the guys that were before me that had to go maybe 3 or 4 years to Kingman, I only had to go to 2, and I wouldn't think Robin had to go to any. But
I didn't. No.
You know, and I don't know if Rick had already moved, but Joe and myself, from the beginning, we had to go to Kingman for 2 years.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you don't mind, I have a funny story. I grew up in a ranching family, a cattle ranch. I grew up, that's my uncles, my aunt, my dad, all my dad's friends. They either were cowboying or got all busted up and had to do something else. And everybody that I was around, they were either still cowboying or whatever. So I moved to Lake Havasu, and none of that is there. You know, we had horses. I mean, we had at the sod farm, we had Krells, and my dad, we always had horses. And we go to Kingman, and here we are, we're Havasu surfers. And I'm like, what the heck? A surfer? And they called him Kingman. They called him Kingman Cowboys. And what I grew up with. And yet I was a surfer, you know. And the only guy I know who knew how to surf was Gary Beamer. He came from Torrance, California, and Kingsbury came from Avondale, and I came from Payson, and I don't know where the Morrows came from.
Texas.
But I dang sure didn't know how to surf. But Kingman was. I could go into Kingman and talk to you about those bus rides and how we were treated in Kingman and how because I'm from Havasu, there wasn't any nice things about what we thought of Kingman, and I'm sure Kingman said the same thing if you were talking to them about us.
Robin, Robin, you said your family came from Texas. What part of Texas?
The Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was, I was going to say that. I knew that.
Oh, yeah, we came out and three little girls, my mom and dad, in a little Volkswagen Bug.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, a couple of shout-outs to a couple of folks, Warren Alvord's listening to the show, and He remembers listening to you guys and seeing you folks just down the street. And he mentioned your Oldsmobile 442.
Warren remembers. Yeah, that was my, no kidding. I remember Wendy and them, they thought that was cool. They'd sit out there at lunchtime. That was in the Havasu High School days. My mom and dad bought the third house on Cliff Road, and then the Alboards just lived down from us, and the Morrows lived across the street from us down the road. But yeah, it was C.V. Woods or Shoemaker, and then it was the McCulloughs, and then it was the Hots. And I have to tell you, the McCulloughs, they were so nice. They would always invite my parents over when they were in town, and because they had no place to live. I mean, we lived in I was in the third house on Cliff Roads, from the trailer park. From Site 6, we moved to just right off the smoke tree on Cliff Roads, and we were in that third house. And our neighbor was the developer. That was McCullough.
Yeah.
And I just remember him always being very nice.
Well, there's a message here from Bill Sweet. He says, don't tell all, Bruce.
old Sweetie. Yeah, he knows.
We just had Michael McCullough on the show.
We did.
Yeah, they were, I tell you what, they were, and of course, when the city started to grow, they could do whatever they want, of course. But in the beginning, that was, Kingsbury lives up on Smoke Tree, right below Smoke Tree Elementary, which was the only school. And they were just right below that. And we lived just down there off the Smoke Tree on Cliff Rose, and the Beamers, they got here and they lived right up there for a while, but not far from Kingsbury. And, the thing about Havasu, when you bought property, the Connie's coming in, guys, and back to 63, that was the coolest thing, those constellations, they had the three tail on the end, and they would come in and they would get out, and all these people would come out, and they would get in these white Jeeps, and these Holley salesmen would rock and roll. They'd take them off, and I'm sure that there was pressure on D.C. Spears and them guys to get these dirt roads around so they could go and sell this property. And that was a pretty cool experience to be sitting there in Site 6 and watching these big planes come in and then watching everything happen. And I got to be on that airplane a couple times. They flew me down to Phoenix, and my family from Payson would pick me up, and I'd go up to Payson and visit. But
hey, Bruce,
that was pretty cool. Robin, I don't know if you remember that. That was cool.
Bruce
and
Robin, you guys were there since there was nothing there in the beginning. You got to see them map out the whole city. You actually got to see all the roads being created, and they were originally dirt roads, and they were flat in lots. So you actually got to see the real growth of the town happen.
We saw everything. And we graduated at the I, which is Wheeler Park now, but my dad designed that, to be honest. They were in an airplane up there flying, and then they would come down, and they called my dad Danny, and he would do all his thing, and then they'd get back in an airplane, and they'd fly up, and they'd take a look at it, and then they'd come back and talk to my dad, and then my eighth grade graduation was there.
Wow.
Somewhere of that.
Our radio studio is right next to Wheeler Park.
Yeah, well, there was, I think the city got there, and then Tri-County, in the beginning, everything was in Arnold Plaza. We had a barber shop, by golly, and had a liquor store, and Clay Bulls was a big deal.
We have an old Super 8 back then?
The what?
Movie.
Oh, right.
Of you guys' eighth grade graduation. Was it eighth grade graduation?
Yes.
In Wheeler Park. And there's a Gene Milam is driving up in the old sheriff car.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and there weren't very many of us, just to be honest with you, that were graduating. But then, the guys that were going to Kingman, to the high school, I only had to do that 2 years, and it was, and I was a teacher. I mean, I taught school here. I went back to school and became an educator, and I taught school for 37 years. And that Kingman experience is something that's a whole new story. I could talk to you about that. It's the craziest thing I ever saw. Here's a story about Kingman, and I don't want to get too much into it because it was not a good time. I'm a freshman, so I'm probably, 14 years old, and I go into an algebra class. I mean, I don't know anything about high school. I'm a pup, and I'm in this algebra class, and I'm not going to tell you who the teacher was because of maybe family that are there or something that might know. And this guy, he goes, any of you guys from Bullhead City or Havasu? And of course, you know, we raise our hand. Hey, that's cool. He kicked our rear ends out. We were sent to the office and had to be put in another class.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Well, you know, guys, I got to tell you, it's been an absolute pleasure. And the history you guys brought to the show today is literally some of the best we've ever had in the 2 years of the show. Now we're into our 27th show, I believe, and you guys really hit it off and did such a great job. And that whole history perspective that you guys got to live, I can't even fathom. A lot of us got here early, but not that early. So I want to thank you so much for being here today. And as we wind up our show, I'd like to have you back, Bruce, if that's good.
Yeah, I have plenty of stories, and I'm sure if Robin could get a hold of Joe and Jane and they could come up with some stuff. But I tell you what, if you were a kid living in that time period, before the Kingman days, before I had to go to school in Kingman, it wasn't, they had every right to probably not like it because we didn't participate in any of their, well, to be real honest, Gary Beamer and Steve Kingsbury and I tried to play football, and they just basically kicked our rear ends. They didn't want no part of it.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Can I say something real quick? It'll only take a second.
Go ahead.
Quick second. Go ahead.
Our first year of football, and if Coach Barnes is listening to this and Coach Nielsen, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how good they were. We kicked their living. We took all the anger that they gave us in Kingman, and we put them all over the field. We absolutely kicked their rear ends to no end. On that bus ride back home to Havasu, if you could get a hold of Coach Barnes or Coach Nielsen, and they will tell you that bus was on level 10 all the way to Havasu. That's the kind of experience we had. And nothing against Kingman, because they probably thought the same about us as we thought about them.
Right.
Well, but I tell you what, Kingsbury and I had a really good game.
That's really funny. And, I know that Dean Nielsen's listening in today on the show. Again, guys, thank you so much for being here today. We're going to sign off, and we'll get you guys back on the show with us again in the future, okay?
Thank you. Yeah, we got lots of stories, but maybe you don't want to listen to them, but...
All right, thanks, Bruce. We appreciate it.
All right, we'll talk to you folks soon.
Hey, guys, thank you.
All right.
Bye.
We got to squeeze in some bills. Pay some bills. Squeeze in some sponsors. Man, hard to get a word in edgewise. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie along with Dan DeLosantos on the Havasu Pioneers radio show. Stay with us. We're back on the Havasu Pioneers radio show and with Dan DeLosantos. We wanted to talk a little bit about some events coming up in October.
Yeah, we've got, there's a bunch. You can go on to Go Lake Havasu, or you can go to the River Scene Magazine and catch their calendars, and you'll find all the events. A couple quick ones. We've got the Doggy Fashion Show, the Linden Bridge Doggy Fashion Show, that'll be at the Dane Bar. That will be hosted on the 22nd. At the Dane Bar on Acoma Boulevard. Another one that we've just popped up is we've got the London Bridge Arm Wrestling Contest for both men and women. And so that will be held on the 9th of October. And so that's going to be a really special event. You won't want to miss that. The general public's all invited. And then we've got the Beard and Mustache Contest. Now, folks, if you know somebody out there that's got a beard or a nice-looking mustache, please get them in. Get them registered online at... Havasu Memorial Walkway.org, and you can find all the sign-up forms there. We'd love to have you on, and if you're a sponsor and like to be part of that event, we'd love to have you too. Our next guest speakers for the next show, which will be the 6th of October, will be Tim Siebold and Hannah Regel, and they'll be talking about the Outboard World Classic outboard races that are going to be here on the 15th, 16th, and 17th, and the same as the museum event, the Mind of McCulloch. That will be also the 15th, 16th, and 17th.
Yeah, that sounds like a great exhibit that Hannah's putting together.
Oh, it's going to be incredible. Plus, there's a meet and greet, Paul, on Friday. And there's going to be a meet and greet at a little after 4 p.m. at the Linden Bridge Beach. at the event area, and they're going to bring in the old boats and the drivers, and they're bringing in the new boats and the new drivers for a meet and greet. First time we've ever done that.
Well, it'll be nice to have Tim back in the studio, too, talk about those races, and get Hannah back in here, too.
Absolutely.
We don't get her in here enough. Anyway, that'll be on the first Wednesday in October as we go back to our normal schedule. And thanks for being with us today on this special edition of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Dan, thanks so much. Great show.
Thank you, Paul.
Great guests. And Hannity is up next, preceded by Fox News. Again, tomorrow, the Real Estate Power Hour. Boom! Join us then on Speak Out.
The voice of the free, KNTR Talk 106.3, KJJJ Laughlin, HD2.